This week we have a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, special two Sifrei Torah, a special Haftarah Hashamayim Kisi V'Aretz Hadoim Ragvay. It's a minor yomtiv, a special Musaf Ato Yotzarto Elamcha Mikedem Kilisa Melachtecha Bayoim Hashvi. The nusach of Musaf, if you notice, is the nusach of the Sholoi Shrugalim. On a regular day, on a regular Rosh Chodesh, we daven a regular Shemoneh Esrei for Shacharis, and for Musaf we have a special unique Musaf for Rosh Chodesh. But when Shabbos comes out on Rosh Chodesh, the combination is not just that it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh; it upgrades the Shabbos and the Rosh Chodesh to be mamish a regal, to be one of the Shalosh Regalim. It's a very special time when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coincide. Two Sefer Torah, a special nusach of, that's equivalent to the Moadim of the Shalosh Regalim. It's also Parshas Korach. The first Rashi. Korach is all about Machlokes. It is a horrific episode in Jewish history. Maybe it's possibly the worst, because the other things were rebellion, were acts of rebellion against Hashem. This was an act of rebellion against man, against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Aaron HaKohen. So, you know, we rebelled against Hashem with the eagle, we rebelled against Hashem with Eretz Yisrael, we rebelled against Hashem with the Mis'oininim, and we rebelled against Hashem. There were four things that we didn't remember, but this was in a league by itself, being that here we went up Korach and his Ada, his 250 men, and Oin ben Peles. They all went up against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. Hashem is very forgiving when we sin against him, but Hashem says, I will not forgive you for your sins against me until you are Mephias, your friends, until you find forgiveness between one man and his fellow man. So this is a very disturbing parsha, and Rashi hints to the fact that it's a very disturbing parsha with his famous opening words, Parsha zo yofen nidreshes b'medrash Rebbe Tanchum. All the commentators are troubled. They are curious as to why Rashi had to make this statement. And you can make this statement concerning every single parsha in the Torah. Every single parsha is yofen nidreshes, is interpreted, is expounded beautifully in the collection of midrashim that we have available to us. Why did Rashi over here have to say, make this statement that it's yofen nidreshes with regard to Korach, something that he does not say in regard to any other parsha in the Torah? And I think the answer is very obvious. It's because Rashi always says, Leibosi ela leforish. My primary objective in writing the commentary on Chumash is not to say drush. My primary function, my primary goal is to say pshat. It happens to me that sometimes the best pshat is found in the Medrash. That's why Rashi very commonly will quote selective midrashim, because the selective midrashim actually explain good pshat in the pasuk. Parshas Korach is problematic because the pshat is very disturbing. It's a very disturbing pshat. Leibasi elo lefaresh. It represents possibly the worst sin in the history of Klal Yisrael. So Rashi seems to be apologizing. How can I write a commentary on the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, whose goal, whose role, mission is to say Pshat, when I now come to Parshas Korach, where the Pshat arouses Kitroik against Klal Yisrael, to mention the terrible sins of Klal Yisrael, going up against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Aaron, challenging everything that we have from Har Sinai? So Rashi says, there's what to learn from here as well. Yofen nidresh, ein hachinami. The pshat is painful, but it's part of the Torah. And being that it's part of the Torah, it means there are lessons. And the lessons are not just simple lessons. The lessons are beautiful lessons. It's yofa nidreshes, even in the harshest era of our history, in the most difficult episodes of Jewish history, yofa nidreshes. There's something beautiful to extract. There's something significant. And this is a very powerful limud musar when it comes to studying Jewish history in general. Talk about the Holocaust. There's been no more painful, no more horrific period in our history. Now we're coming through Chodesh Tammuz, Chodesh Av. We're now entering into the Tkufa of the Yimei HaMetzarim, and we're focusing on the Chor Beis HaMikdash, focusing on the Holocaust, we focus on the Crusades, on the all the expulsions, Inquisition, pogroms, blood libels, v'chulu, the Chmelnytsky massacres, all of these things. These are horrific periods in Jewish history. But Rashi says there's nothing worse than what happened in the time of Korach. There couldn't possibly be something worse when Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to extreme measures and demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction is off the charts, when Moshe Rabbeinu is putting everything on the line and saying, I guarantee the earth is going to open up and swallow you up. Miracles are going to happen. The earth in Vim Yivra Elohim, either this mitzias of the earth opening up and swallowing human beings alive already existed. If not, I demand that it be created just in honor of you. And it's going to happen immediately. In Pekudas Kol Adam Yipokir Aleihem Lo Yashem Shulachani. Moshe goes out on the line. We're dealing over here with the most horrific thing possible. We see for how Moshe Rabbeinu has reaction. And we see, look at the details, even in Rashi, what they did, Dasan Vaviran, the words, the Pshut Shal Mikra. Yet Rashi goes out to say, so what? Yofa Nidrashas. There's something beautiful that can be expounded, can be extracted from the most horrific episode in Jewish history. And from that we have to learn is that even in the most horrible times in our history, there are things to learn. Look at all the acts of heroism, Kiddush Shem Shamayim, that happened in the Holocaust, and all, not chasham, the downplay, the pain and the suffering, but there is always something that's yofe nidreshes, even in the most painful periods of our history.
What is it that we're learning?
Yeah.
What is this beautiful thing that we're learning?
So Rashi goes on to say, Rashi, we're learning not to rebel against it, we're learning the lessons, basically the lessons. The beautiful thing that we're learning, Rashi goes on, there are many things that Rashi says throughout the process, is the beautiful lessons of don't challenge Jewish leadership. Don't challenge the belief that Torah is Menas Shamayim, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Navi Emes, and all of the different things that can be learned from what happened. It is a lesson. We'll talk about some of the things. It's a lesson for the future of Klal Yisrael. Okay, that is one idea. Now let's go to another idea. Let's jump right away into a short thought, and then we'll come to something a little bit more complex. And that is in Birchas Hamazon, in the bracha of Noydilu Hashem Lokein Val Shpachal Talavasinu Eretz Chemda Toyvo Urchav Vial Shalosanu Hashem Lokein Eretz Mitzrayim. We mentioned the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chemda Toyvo Urchav. Many of the commentators who analyze Birchas Hamazon are disturbed. They ask a very popular question: why is there no mention in Birchas Hamazon of the fact that the Eretz Chemda Toyvo Urchav is the land that Zovas Cholav Udevash? It is a term that is used throughout the Torah describing the Yoifi, the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Why is that expression omitted from Birchas HaMazon? If we have emunah that every word we say in Birchas HaMazon brings with it bracha, it creates a shefa of bracha, shouldn't we want to mention that it's Zavas Cholav Udvash, all of the connotation, whatever it represents, it will have an effect that the land indeed will flow with milk and honey. Why is it left out? So I saw an answer last week and I saw the same answer this week, but just in two different parashios, and maybe the two together really knocked the nail in the coffin. And that is here in the criticism, in the chutzpah. The chutzpah of Dasan Vaviran. First, look what they said. Look what they said. Hama'at ki heli, let's say, Vayishlach Moshe, likrol ledosan v'la'adiram b'nei'elia. Moshe, he calls, Moshe appears that Moshe thinks, listen, of Korach, listen, him I can't fight with. But at least, let me try to nip the machlokes in the bud by at least dealing with Dasan v'aviran and putting them and calming them down. So Moshe goes and calls them to have a meeting with them. Let's negotiate. Let's have a meeting. He calls them. And what do they say? How do they respond with chutzpah? Loi na'ale. We will not come to visit you. We will not take up your invitation. And then they say the following horrifying words. Hama'at. Isn't it bad enough? Is it not bad enough? Ki heli sanu may eretz zovas cholavu devash. The ultimate kafri toif. You Moshe, you took us out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the land that flowed with milk and honey. And what did you do? You took us out of the land that flowed with milk and honey. Lahamisenu bamidbar, that we should die in the desert. It's a gezerah that we're going to die because of the chidah egel, the chidah of the meraglim. We're going to die in the desert, and you never brought us. You never brought us into Eretz Yisrael like you promised. And now, kis historer, aleinu gam historer, you want to lord over us. Dasan va'aviron would not have had the chutzpah to say such words and call Eretz Mitzrayim, the land that flows with milk and honey, the term that is used to describe Eretz Yisrael, unless they were expressing a sentiment that came from Klal Yisrael. That's a given. It's a given. There was tolerance to say such a thing. And this is one of the most very grave avera. And the same avera was done pretty much. Where did Dasan Vavirin get this from? Where did they get this idea to say Zavas Cholav Advash? They got it. No, more than the Messiah. The Messiah just complained. They got it from the Meraglim. Go back to Parashat Shlach. They use it in a different context. They come to Eretz. They come back from spying on the land. And they say, yeah, the land is wonderful. The land is wonderful. And how do they describe the land as being wonderful? They said the land indeed is Zavas Cholav Udvash. The Zepirya. But Ephes. But he asked him. Let me find the exact pasuk. Okay, the exact pasuk is they report back. The Gam. They acknowledge. These are the words of the spies. Zavas cholov udvash. He v'zepirya. And then they go on a tirade. They go on a long list of lashon hara. The long horrible expression. Efes ki azam hayeshev v'aretz. They go on. And Rashi explains, what Farshim explains is, look, I read the words of the Apostle of Zion in Rashi, Parsha Shlach. Why did they say, Zavas Cholav Udvashi? They did not say it because they really cared to say something good about the land. Kol Dovar Sheker. Their goal, their agenda was to speak Sheker about the land. But they knew that if they would get up and start speaking Sheker about Eretz Yisrael, they would be silenced. Their words would not be accepted. Rashi says, Kol Dovar Sheker, She'ein Oymen Boy Kitsas Emes, you don't say a little bit of Emes, Bitchilaso, Ein Miskayen B'Soifa, then you'll never succeed in getting across the Sheker. So it's a very horrifying thing which happened in Parashat Shalach. The only reason why they praised Eretz Yisrael as being a land that Zavas Cholav Udvash is not because they really cared to express the Shevach of the land. They only used the Zavas Cholav Udvash as a tool, as a means to express what they wanted to say, the Sheker of Efes Ki As Ha'am. Who was in the audience listening to this? Dasan Va'avira. And it planted the seed in Dasan Va'avira. Ah, look at this. Zavas Cholav Udvash. It's MS. But it was an MS that was abused. It was an MS that was severely abused. It was an expression that was only said by the Meraglim as a stepping stone to speak Lashon Hara, to make machlekas, to speak Lashon Hara and to undermine the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Dasan Va'avim just went the next step. They just took an opening and they took those same exact words, Zavas Cholav Udvash. You know, it's a slippery slope. You do an Avera the first time, it's difficult. You do it the second time, it's not so difficult. The third time, it becomes a mitzvah. And then already the fourth time, it's a religion. You build a whole religion around it. It's the same exact thing. Dasan Va'aviram only had the chutzpah to say about Mitzrayim, that this is the land that Zavas Cholav Udvash, after the Meraglim have taken these holy words and have tainted them and have contaminated them by expressing them not for their true intent, but as a means to make machloikis in Klal Yisrael and reject the authority and the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this act of Dasam Vavim was really just built upon a previous act. Therefore, we're embarrassed to say those words. When we bench, Chazal were very, very careful. We say, Noda l'cho Hashem Elokeinu, al shem chalta lavoseinu, Eretz chemda toivo urechava, Eretz asher zovas cholav udvash. That was the original nusach. That was the plan. That was the goal. Okay, I don't know what the printers would do. They would have to have a few more spaces to fit the words on the page. That was the original plan. And Chazal said, do we really deserve to say these words? Have we really atoned for the sin of the Meraglim, for the sin of Dasan Va'aviram? It was these words that were used to rebel against Hashem, against Moshe, in two parashios. The fact that we're still living in Golos, the Beis Hamikdash has not been rebuilt, we have not been restored. We're not deserving. In fact, by saying these words, we're only arousing upon ourselves kitroig. We're only arousing upon ourselves an accusation that we are sinners, that we were tolerant. We were tolerant of what the Meraglim said. We were tolerant of what Dasan Va'aviram said. We allowed this expression to be abused. We just don't have the right. We don't have the right to take these words and use these words and express the love of the land until the time of Mashiach. And therefore, we suffice to say our appreciation, Zov Eretz Chemda Toivu Urchava, and we do everything we possibly can do to once again earn the right to say the words and to witness the seeing of the Eretz Zov Aschol of Udvash. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's talk about Dasan Va'avim. Dasan Va'avim are possibly the most complex people in Tanakh. That's quite a statement to say, right? How dare I say that? Dasan Va'avim are really a very complicated people. They were the first people that Moshe Rabbeinu met. I mean, they met when Moshe Rabbeinu realized, I mean, let's go back to Parashat Shemos. Moshe Rabbeinu was a little... He goes out, Moshe kills the Mitzri, and the next day, what does he see? He sees Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim. Nitzim, they're standing. The word Nitzim, Chazal say, means they were fighting. There's a lot of chutzpah. It's not a very good term, not a very positive term. And what does Moshe say? Vayomer Rosho, Lama Sakereich. Dasan, it doesn't say who was trying to kill who. Dasan Va'aviron were fighting, they're having a boxing match. And both of you are Rosh Moshe already, who was Makir, at the very, very beginning, the first time he met them, they were Shon. First thing he sees about them, these two people, Lama Rosha. It's a very powerful word to call another person, then you call a person a Rosha. And the Gemara says, Yemalkus. And Moshe doesn't hold back. The first thing he says, Rosha. Lama Sakereyecha. Re'echa Kamoyscha is also a Rosha, just like you. And what do they say to Moshe? And Rashi there says, and then Moshe says, Vayira Moshe Ma'od. Moshe was afraid, and he goes on to say, Chay Noida Hadavar. And Rashi there says two things. Number one is, now that I see that we're dealing with what we're dealing with over here, Shema, maybe, Einam Ru'uyim L'Gu'ula. Maybe the Jewish people are not fit for Gu'ula. These two people, they capture the essence, the sentiment of the whole Jewish people. I see in them that maybe we're not royal Geula. There are people in Klal Yisrael like Dasan Va'avim. If Klal Yisrael can produce a Dasan Va'avim, they can be tolerant of their behavior, they can allow them to exist. It's a problem for Klal Yisrael. And then Rashi, then he goes on to say, Achein noida hadavar. Now, I always wondered why the Jewish people suffer avoidas perach. Why do they suffer avoidas perach? Now I know. When I look at Dasan Va'avim, they're such rishoyim. Again, they're only two people. Right. It's not just two people, it's a solid majority. The fact that such people are, the Klal Yisrael is tolerant of such people, the fact that they could exist, that the Klal Yisrael can produce such two people, represents a flaw in Klal Yisrael.
And they were prominent.
What?
And they were prominent.
Prominent people, there's a flaw, there's something wrong with the system. And therefore, I now understand why the Jewish people suffer avodas perach, crushing slave labor. These Rashis are just earth-shattering about what he's saying about Klal Yisrael when you look at Dasan Vavim. Now, another what's very bizarre about Dasan Vavim is they were always the Rishon. When it says in the Pasuk, Nidna Roish v'Neshuvah l'Mitzrayim, why did he take us out of Egypt? Let's go back to Mitzrayim when they came to the Yam. They did not know what to do. So there were four different groups. There was one group that said, let's go back to Egypt. Who were the people who wanted to go back to Egypt? Dasan Vavim. Who were the people that put out the man, tried to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu when Hashem said there's going to be no man on Shabbos? The man is going to only fall on Friday, take a double portion of man on Friday, it's not going to fall on Shabbos. Who tried to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu? Dasan Vaaviran.
Only those two?
Only those two. They were the leaders. There must have been more people.
Yes.
They in fact did not leave Mitzrayim. Exactly, they did not leave Mitzrayim. They conspired with Paro. There are many more examples. I don't remember all the examples, but wherever you find trouble, yes, they are there. They are always there. Always making trouble.
First name of trouble.
And the question all the commentators ask is, why did they merit to survive? If four-fifths of the Jewish people perished in the Yimei Choshech, the Yimei Afela, the Mach of Choshech, so these two people who are troubled from beginning to end, with no rest in sight, why did Hashem allow these two people to survive? It's a very, very big mystery. Dasan Aviram. So the answer, before we get to the answer, okay, what is the answer? The answer is, we're going back to the other thing I wanted to say, the answer is, Dasan Aviram, Chazal say, this is a Medrash, back in Parashas, the end of Parashas Shemos, they had a very great zuchus. And the zuchus was, they were the Shaitrei Ha'am. Let me read you the pasuk in the end of Parsha Shemos. Parsha Shemos. The very end of Parsha Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he complains to Paro, let my people go. Paro says, you have too much time on your hands. No longer will I give you straw. Gather straw yourself. And the people, and you must continue to produce the amount of stones. And what happens? Vayuku Shaitre Bnei Yisrael Asher Samu Aleihem Nogseim Faro Lemar Madua Lo Chilisem Chokhem Lilbon Kismol Shulshom Gam Tmol Gam Hayom. The people could not fill the quota of stones because they were given the extra requirement to gather the straw themselves. In between the Jewish people who were slaves and the Egyptians, they were officers. Who were the officers? Like the Nazis, the Yimach Shem did in the concentration camps?
The Kapos.
The Kapos. They were Jews. Who were the Kapos? They were called the Shoitrei, and they were the ones that were demanded to give us over the bricks. And what does Rashi say? It's very critical. Rashi here, which says quite a bit, which is the point I want to make. By Yuku, they were hit. They were beaten. These Shoitrei were beaten. They could not force the people to work harder. And they said, we'll take the blows. It's worthy that we should suffer the anger of the Egyptians so that the people under our authority do not have to work harder. Could you imagine such a maisa at Sitkus? Rashi says, Hashoitrim Yisraelim. This is in Parsha Shemos, Perikei, Pasuk Yudalid. Hashoitrim Yisraelim, Hoyu, V'chosim. Okay, these are the key words. These shaitim had compassion al chavrehem milidchokom, had compassion over their fellow Jews and did not want to force them to engage in more labor, crushing labor. When they would hand over the stones to the taskmasters, the Mushahim Hamitzriim, v'hoyechoser min haskom, so the Egyptians would beat the Jewish Shaitrim al shaloi dachaku, because they did not force the Jews under their command es oitzeh hamalacha. And what does Rashi go on to say? What was the reward? What was the reward that these Shaitrim received for suffering the blows of the Mitzriim? Lefichach zachu oisan Shaitrim liyos Sanhedrin. In this merit, they merited that they became the Sanhedrin. The ne'etzal min haruach asher al Moshe v'hu sam aleihem. They were recipients of ruach hakodesh. Vayotzal Hashem ruach Hashem went and he bestowed upon these people ruach hakodesh. Shenemar es v'li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael me'oisam sheyadata hatoivosh osu b'mitzram kihem zikne on v'shoit rof. And it says there the word v'shoitov refers to these people. That's all it says in Rashi. The Medrash adds a few more details to this Rashi. And it says, who else was among these people? Dasan v'Avira.
They became Sanhedrin too?
They did not. That's exactly the point. Dasan v'Avira were also from the Shoitrin. And they were also, they saw how hard the people worked to make the bricks, and they could not force them, could not bring themselves to force them, their fellow Jews, to work harder. And they knew they're going to have to suffer the blows of the Egyptians. And they said, it's Kedai. Better we be beaten by the Egyptians and suffer than us force. Then what happened? When did I turn the gun again? Better we... It works? Is it working? Yeah, it's working. Better we suffer the blows from the Egyptians, then force our fellow Yisraelim, my fellow Jews, to work harder. So in other words, they had a zuchus, they had a merit that's beyond our comprehension. Beyond our comprehension, they suffered for Klal Yisrael. And therefore Chazal say in this zuchus, they survived. Even though they were Rishoyim, the worst of the worst. And we see they were the worst of the worst. Everywhere there was trouble, they were the ones there, they were the ringleaders. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What? So that's the point I want to make. So what about the other ones? Exactly. So what about Rashi doesn't want to mention this. Rashi only mentions the other ones. There were at least 70 of them, Shaitrim. And the other ones, they merited to become the Sanhedrin. So what went wrong? And this is something that unfortunately is part of the complexity of a human being, of human nature, is that when a person suffers, there's no human being today that's alive that does not suffer on behalf of someone else. That's the way it is. You have children, you have friends, you have parents. A person is always, always making sacrifices on behalf of someone else. That's the way we live. They're not unique. It's a question of to what degree. And the question is, how do you deal with it? So you can go two ways. So the Sanhedrin, they said, it's right, we suffered, but it's not for us to take advantage of. We made a decision, we had Bechir Chafshas, we suffered, we have a Klal Yisrael, it's between us and Hashem, Hashem will give us the reward. Dasan Va'aviram, they took the fact that they suffered, and they unfortunately, they said, if we suffered, we are entitled. They used their suffering as a domain of entitlement. We suffer. Moshe, did you suffer? Where were you, Moshe, for all these years? You grew up with a silver spoon, right? You grew up in the palace of Paro. You had a wonderful life. When you got into a little trouble, the first thing was you ran away. You ran away to Midian. You got married. Good for you. You got a good shidduch. When you married the daughter of Yisro, you had a good life. Everything was fine and good. Hashem comes and Hashem says, oh, I want you to redeem. All of a sudden, you show up on the scene. You didn't do anything to deserve this. You come here, you show up on the scene, and now you're going to be the big leader. You're going to get all the honor, all the covet. And we, Dasan Va'anvirun, who suffered on behalf of Klal Yisrael, we get nothing. We're not part. You're not the Kahuna, not the Leviah, we're not a Nasi, we're not anything. We are entitled. And this sense of entitlement that they suffer on behalf of Klal Yisrael is what gave them the boldness to rise up against Moshe Rabbeinu with the ultimate chutzpah. And they legitimized, they justified every word that they said, and rightfully so to a certain degree. I mean, who are we to judge? They suffered. Moshe, you didn't suffer. You show up here at a later point in time and everything is good and fine by you and we're suffering and now you're going to become the leader to save Klal Yisrael. They spoke to Moshe with the ultimate chutzpah like none other as we see in this week's parasha. Their counterparts, the other 70 men of the Sanhedrin, they could have done the same thing. They could, but they chose, they had Bechira Chofshes, and they chose that Sreit, we suffer. I suffered, it was voluntary, we did this on our own. But you know what? It's between us and Hashem. If Hashem wants to reward us, He will. Hashem doesn't, won't. The next world, there's another world. And in those who chose not to abuse the fact that they suffered on behalf of their fellow Jews, indeed, in the right time, Hashem rewarded. Vayotzel min haruach. But dasam va'avirim, who were not able to be omen in this Nisayon, unfortunately, they challenged Moshe, and they were swallowed up in the earth. They and their wives, their children, and all of them that associated with them. Yeah. They were not. Absolutely not. No, they were not. They were not. What? The son of what? Depends. Some not every. I have to see inside. Which does it mean the mamish of Sanhedrin? Maybe I don't know. You have to see inside. Pashup Shada. This is a very powerful limud hamusar for all of us. There's a very powerful message in here for us. There's two groups. There's Dasan va'aviram, and there is everyone else, the other shaitim, the other shaitim who became the members of the Sanhedrin. Both of them, they did something that was noble. They did something that was great. And every single person, like we said, does this in their life. You suffer silently on behalf of someone else. Person has children, and you raise their children, and they don't, and they're not shy for a child to give back to the parent even a fraction of what the parent gave you. It's impossible. You have friends, you have chaverim, you do chesed bitzina, you give up of your money, your hard work, agmas nefesh, sleepless nights, with no appreciation, no one knows, no one cares, and then it comes a point in time where a person has a nisayon, you know, I'm entitled. There's a degree of entitlement. I want to let the person have it. I want to go and let him know what I've done for him. I want payback. And it can cause a person to do things that are very, very horrible. It can cause a reaction. A person's not careful. It can trigger things that you never in your wildest dreams thought you were capable of doing. Person comes to that breaking point at some point in time. It's human nature. And here we have in front of us in this week's parasha two groups, Dasan va'aviran and the other Noiksim. Each one came to a breaking point. The Noiksim chose to be silent. They chose to be silent. They were oimed in this very difficult nisayon when things were very difficult. And the time came. Vayotzel Hashem gave them Ruach HaKodesh. What more could you possibly want in this world? And Dasan va'aviran couldn't make it. And the zechus is so great. Let's not underestimate the zechus. The zechus is so great. They survived everything. Chazal say Hashem made a special kriyas yamsuf just for them. They stayed back because they wanted to rebel. And then when they saw things were not going their way, they had charata. So Hashem says, for you alone, we'll do kriyas yamsuf.
Right.
So we see we're not dealing here with simple people. But it came to that breaking point, which is a very great Nisayon, and they were not able to be limited in that Nisayon. And the Musar Haskell is when we come to that, every person that comes to this Nisayon at some point in their time, every person suffers on behalf of someone else, and every person is challenged, and when you come to that point, that breaking point, you got to remember, there's a Dasan Va'aviram, and there is the Zakenim. On which side of the camp am I going to be? Just... You have to, it's difficult. It's a very big necessity in life, but the goal is to have emuna and to accept, to realize that Hashem in the right time will reward. Hashem does not deny reward to any living creature. We do not know how these things work, when, where, how, what, who, but there is a time.
Which
medrash is this one? In Medrash, let's look over here. Medrash, there's a lot of information they talk about on this thing over here.
952 in Medrash, they passed the law. Give the death penalty to the Nazis.
Yeah.
And they had a problem because people started recognizing Jews in the street.
Right.
Who were kapos.
Kapos, right.
And they got very upset and they wanted to make a law about that.
A lot has been written and said about the kapos. It was a very big Messiah. Can't judge anyone.
He said that you cannot judge.
Exactly. You can't judge.
He came from France. His name was Martha Stegman. Originally, he came from Bertsky. And when he shifts to Auschwitz, he died, he was a capo. And he walked into his house, and his wife, he didn't go out, told him, if you were a bad capo, walk out again. This guy used to take people into the other room, and you'd hear kailas. But he never hit them. He hit the wall, and he said, yell.
Uh-huh.
But when he came back, people lined up to ask him who survived, because he had a...
You know what was even more difficult than the capos? The people who were in charge of the ghettos. That was even worse than the capos, because they were given the task to give a list.
His son, who survived as a young man who hid, became the head of the... André Stegman was the president of the Council of Jews in France.
Wow.
He was a doctor. And the night before he was supposed to operate on the doll, he got a phone call saying that if he leaves him on the table, he won't have to worry about Parnassus.
Okay, you're right. The Kabbalah, also, I was reading recently about in the ghettos. You know, the Nazis in the whole war, they established approximately 350 ghettos all over Poland, Europe, and these ghettos. Who do they appoint to be in charge? Jews. And the Jews, at the end, every ghetto was liquidated. Every ghetto was liquidated at the very end. And they, when they liquidated the ghettos, they asked the administrators, these Jewish administrators, is give us a list of the people that we should send off to the camps. So you, how can they make how can you, a Jew, go and give over your own fellow Jews? You're going to go first to die. It was a very, very big nesayon. And whatever, there are horror stories. I mean, the horror stories.
Spira there and Yom Kippur, they were working. They knew that Yom Kippur, they gave them food to eat. Nobody wanted to eat. And the capo was responsible for that. And he didn't want to enforce it. So the Nazis came in. They said, you let him not eat? He says, you eat now. He says, I'm not eating either. You want to shoot me? Shoot me.
Zechus yogin aleinu. We can't even imagine what this is to have. Another, okay, now let's go to another idea. This is a very short idea. This is a very short point. Dasan va'aviron, they hated each other. They hated each. How do we know they hated each other? Vayomer Moshe, Vayomer LaRosh, Lama Sakereyecha. They were trying to kill each other. I want to show you the rishis. How we, but yet. When it came to rise up against Moshe Rabbeinu, they're best friends. Normally, it's my enemy's enemy is my friend, right?
You see it today.
Among the Arabs.
But when it comes against Israel, they join.
Who didn't see that coming?
I smelled that one a mile away.
Okay, but yeah, this is a mitzias. I mean, my enemy's enemy is my friend. Not in this case. Not in this case. In this case, my enemy's enemy is my enemy. Okay, and unfortunately, this is Jewish history. This is my Avosim Labanim. The people who have risen up against Moshe Rabbeinu, come against Klal Yisrael, more often than not, they hate each other. Different Arab nations, they hate each other, and all the Umos Olam. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden we find their best friends. Ma'isav Asim L'banim, this is the rishus, this is the evil nature of challenging Klal Yisrael. Okay, now let's go to another short idea. Now, Dasan Vaviran, we always wonder what exactly was the nature of Dasan, what was the nature of Aviran. Rashi quotes one particular medrash about how they challenged Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it say in Rashi? The Korach, he comes to Moshe, all dressed in beged shekulei techilas, and he has all the 250 men as well, come in the garments, and he says, Korach comes, and he says to Moshe, is this does it need tzitzis? So Moshe says, of course it needs tzitzis. So they mock Moshe, if a garment that's not tcheles, if one cord of tcheles exempts the garment from tzitzis, from its obligation, al achas kama v'kama, if the entire garment is tcheles, how much more so it should be exempt, it should not need anything more. That's what it says in Rashi. But the Medrash goes on, and the Medrash gives another example which you're all familiar with, and that is the mezuzah. What was the criticism that if a bias has full of sefarim, sifrei Torah, does it need a mezuzah? So Moshe said, of course, That's exactly what he wanted to hear. And he used that as a springboard to mock Moshe Rabbeinu in front of the entire Klal Yisrael with the following argument, that if a bias that's empty can be exempt by two parshios, Shema v'Hoyoim Shemoya, the mezuzah, al achas kama v'kama, bias that's moles sefarim, should not need anything to exempt, it should be. Now obviously the argument is wrong, that's not the halacha. The halacha says that a beget needs tzitzis no matter what, a bias needs a mezuzah no matter what. But this was logic. Korach was a brilliant man. This was logic which Korach used to undermine, to weaken the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, interesting. I saw who Dasan Aviron. Someone to say is that one argument was made by Dasan and one was made by Aviron, because Dasan primarily, it's not exactly what it says in Rashi, but this is it's an idea. Dasan was coming to challenge Moshe. And Aviram's primary focus was Aaron. Chazal say Dasan comes to the word of Das, law. Dasan, he tried to corrupt the law. Moshe was Teras Moshe. Aviram comes from the word to cause to go away, Lahavir, to cause the people to remove themselves from the Torah. Aaron's role was Rabim Heshiv Me'ovan, the opposite, to draw people near the study of Torah. So Dasan's objective was against Moshe, and Aviram's objective was to undermine Aaron. Go a step further. There were two different mitzvahs that they used in their arguments. Tzitzis and Mezuzah. Mezuzah was used to undermine Moshe, and tzitzis was used to undermine Aaron. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. What does the Kohen Gadol wear? What's the most distinguishing garment of the Kohen Gadol? Not just the tzitzis or the garment, the me'il. Yeah. The me'il is kula techeles. Beged shel kula techeles. This is the garment this was the remes that they're trying to undermine Aaron. The mezuzah represents Torah. Represents who is the one who gave Klal Yisrael the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. Toras Moshe. So the mezuzah, the argument of the mezuzah was an argument to undermine that was presented by, I mean, Korach was one who was leading, but he was his two main supporters. In fact, if you look into Tehillim, Farshim want to say is that really the main people who led the machlokes, who had the expertise in dealing with this, was Dasan va'Aviram. Korach was the figurehead. He's the one who started the whole thing, but once the fuel that kept the whole thing going was Dasan v'Aviram. Dasan was the one that presented the argument of the mezuzah, and Aviram presented the argument of tzitzis. Now, why am I saying this? Let's go to what we say every single day in the Birchas Kriyashma. We have an obligation every single day to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. Min HaTorah, there are only two parashios that we are required to recite. And some say not even that. I mean, I tell you just to say the pasuk of Shema Yisrael is enough. But l'chatchila, what do we say to the kind of mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the parasha of Shema, which includes V'Hoyom Shemaya, and parasha of Yehafta, Shema V'Yehafta, and the parasha of V'Hoyom Shemaya? Question: why then do we also every single day, twice a day, recite the parasha of Tzitzis? So who asked this question? The Gemara asked this question. If the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kabbalas Och Malchus Shemayim only includes Shema and V'Hoyoim Shemaya, why do we always, twice a day, without fail, append to Kabbalas Och Malchus Shemayim the mitzvah, the parish of Tzitzis? The Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara gives answers. The Gemara's answer is because there's another mitzvah, you're right, you don't have to, it's not required, and in fact there are situations where you don't have to do it. But it's because the mitzvah of Zichiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have to remember Mitzrayim. So then the Gemara's question, so that's the reason? So there are probably 50 parashios in the Torah. There's no limit. Let's read about Ribbis. You can talk about Shkotzim and Ribbis. I mean, there's no limit. There are 50 parashios in the Torah that mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, because Tzitzis, you're right, you really can say anything you want. But Tzitzis has all of the mitzvahs. The Gemara gives a whole collection of reasons. It was a good selection. You're right. We could have selected many, many other things, but there are other reasons because, like you said, since this represents Re'isim also Zadus Kol Mitzvahs Hashem Vastisim Oisam, it mentions all the mitzvahs. There's the Tcheles, the Meliam, the Rekia, Kisi HaKavod. The Gemara has a discussion of why Tzitzis was a good selection. But the Gemara does acknowledge it really could have been anything. You can really say anything you want in order to make the mitzvah of Zechias, Yetzias, and Tzrayim. I want to suggest that the reason why, it doesn't say this in the Gemara, but Al Derech Drush, the reason why every single day we mention, after we say Kriya Shema, we also say Parsha of Tzitz, because every single day we have to remind ourselves about the Mice of Korach. Because what was Korach? How did Korach present himself to Moshe Rabbeinu from the whole cloud? So what was their technique? They were brilliant. Dasan Va'aviram put on a presentation, PowerPoint slides, multimedia presentation. They came and the whole Klal Yisrael was watching, and they posed the question, Moshe, Beget Shekula Tcheles. This was Aviram's question. Is a Chayiv in Tzitzis? Moshe says, no! They laughed, and they made a mockery. One chut is part of the garment, a whole Beget doesn't? Dasan speaks up. Moshe, a mezuzah, a bias, mole sephorim, is a chayiv in a mezuzah? Moshe says, chayiv. They laughed, they made a mockery of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it say in the mezuzah? Parsha of the mezuzah? Shema v'hoya im shamaya. The two parashios. The mezuzah doesn't say tzitzis, okay? I'm sure you'll know that. And the mezuzah doesn't have the parasha of tzitzis. It has the mitzvah, the two parashios. And then there's the parasha of tzitzis. Every single day, we recite the parashios of the mezuzah and the parasha of tzitzis. Now, me'ikar hadin, you don't have to say v'hoyim shemaya. Kabbalah for malchus shemayim, really, according to one opinion, is just saying shema yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then there's another opinion you should say v'yohavta. Another opinion says you should say until the pasuk, the whole first parasha. V'hoyim shemaya, it's very weak. Kabbalah's HaMitzvah, it's not really required. We do it, and you have to look why we do it. But it, Haloi Dovar, that the parashios that we do say are exactly the parashios that were presented by Korach, Dasan Va'aviram, to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu.
Who says this?
I say this. Koel says this. Why are we doing this? Because this is so fundamental in Yadus. Yadus is authority. There is a Moshe. There is Aaron. There are Kohanim. Not everyone is the same. We live in a world, and Baruch Hashem, we live in a world of opportunity. The land of opportunity. Anyone can be the President of the United States. Anyone. And I mean it. Anyone. But unfortunately, that has a drawback.
Not Hillary.
What?
Not Hillary.
As long as Putin approves, you're set to go. Anyone, Baruch Hashem, it's a wonderful thing. But unfortunately, anything to the extreme is dangerous. And in Yadus, there's a very powerful Rashi. I don't have to go to the Rashi. Rashi says, among the Goyim, they go into church. Everyone is a priest. Everyone can do whatever they want. Rashi, I'm looking at the Rashi, I'm getting the Parsha. But among Klal Yisrael, that's not the way it works. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's only one God. There's only one Kohen Gadol. There's only one person in charge. Rashi goes a whole long list. And everyone else, it's just too bad. That's how learn to be happy with what Hashem gave you. You can't, if you are Yisrael, guess what? You're not going into the Kodesh HaKadosh, whether you like it or not. That's how it is.
Know your place.
That's how it is. Why is it's not fair? Zello fair in America? Anyone can do whatever you want. Just work hard and you'll get whatever you want. No, that's in Yadus, there are limits. That's the way Hashem made the world. That's the way Hashem. And it's a very difficult principle to swallow. But this is part of Emuna, part of Yadus, part of the Yud Gimel Animans, Torah Ben Hashemayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av HaNedim. You don't challenge the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu and all those that come in this place. And you have to respect authority. And the way we respect authority is every single day we remind ourselves twice a day with the Maisa Karach. The Maisa Karach is Shema, the Hoyoim Shemaya, the Parshios of the Mezuzah. And don't tell me it's Kabbalah or Malach Hashem, because that you only need to say one pasuk. And if you want to be Machmir, you can say two pasuk. If you want to be very, very Machmir, a Mahajim, you can say the Parsha of Yohavta. You don't need to say the Parsha of Hoyoim Shemaya. That somehow is a mystery how that got into the Kriya Shema. And saying tzitzis you certainly don't have to do. Tzitzis you just have to say Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. I remember we're out of Mitzrayim. You don't have to say Parsha altogether. Yet the minig is to say all three Parshios. Why? Because it's the Parshios of Mezuzah. It's the Parshios of Tzitzis. It is the challenge of Dasan against Moshe. The challenge of Aviram against Aaron. You have to know your place. You have to know authority. This is a timeless message for Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Okay, we live in a world that we are obsessed with segulos. I'm not coming to criticize segulos. You know, you have everything that you could do is good. You want to wear a red band around your arm if it inspires your shemayim. So very good. No, what's the problem? Probably on the top of the list of segulos, I don't know if it's the top, but it's pretty high up there, is to recite the Ketores every single day.
From a klaf,
right? It's part of Musaf. He's also saying davening every single day. But then people are mahader more from a klaf, to have a klaf and to say shachris mincha. People associate that if you're going to say Ketores, you'll be zochet hashirus. Okay, and we live in a society, whether it's good or bad, we're obsessed with segulas. And Ketores is something which has caught the attention of many people, and it's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful. You want it. There's a very interesting Rashi in this week's parashah. Rashi here says, after the Magefa, after the Bais of Korach, the Ketores is there's a Magefa. After they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, you atem hamitem am Hashem. Moshe, you are responsible for what has happened to Korach and Dasan Baviram and these poor innocent women and children and the 200 followers. And it was a complaint. So Hashem was not happy with this complaint, and Hashem sent a Magefa. And Pasuk says 14,000 people died. Moshe right away says to Aaron, I want you to go and bring Ketores. When I went to Shemaim, I was taught a secret by the Malach that if you mount the Ketores will stop the Magefa. Aaron goes and he brings the Ketores, and the Ketores stops the Magev. Great, there's a lot of Torah, what this means, what's going on, a lot of interesting things. But Rashi has a very fascinating comment. Rashi says, why the Davka, did Moshe select the Ketores as a means to put an end to the Magev? Moshe was pretty talented. Moshe has many tricks up his sleeve. Moshe could have put an end to the Magev, Rashi seems to indicate, other ways. He has other secrets, other techniques to putting an end to the Magev. Why did he use the Ketores? So Rashi says, because the Ketores in the eyes of the Jewish people now has become taboo. The Ketores was responsible now for the death, two horrible episodes of death in Klal Yisrael. No one forgot what happened to Nadav Aviv. On the day of the day when they inaugurated the Mishkan, Nadav Aviv entered into the Kodesh HaKadosh and Eish Zara. What did they bring? Ketores. And what happened? They died. And now Moshe, when Korach, Dasan, Vazim, these were very popular people. These were pop 250. These were the Nisiei Hoeda, Kiriei Hoeda. These were famous people. These were charismatic people. People, they love these people. They got caught up in this. It's Mishagas. Okay, they got caught up. These are very popular people. They're all gone. With their wives, their children, their family, and people who were questioning these innocent women and children, what do they do to deserve this? They're all gone. What caused their death? Ketores. Ketores is poison. In the eyes of the people, the Ketores is poison. It killed, it ruined the simcha of the Mishkan. The forgiveness of Klal Yisrael of the Chedo Egel, when Nadav Aviv came in and they brought Ketores, they died because of the Ketores, and now it brought about the death of this entire group of people, even though they may have been guilty, but the death really hurt. It hurt Klal Yisrael. So Moshe says, Rashi says, I'm going to put an end to death with the Ketores. In other words, Rashi, I have to use the words of the Rashi. Okay, give me one moment. Parshas Korach. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayama ben Amis Menachem. The end of Rashi says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tiru she'atzor hamagefa hi. Okay, let me go. Okay, Rashi says, Vezel shnei mavayishavar nal Moshe. Davaracha. Law on Beketores. Okay, Rashi came. It's Perek. What Perek is Perek? Yizayin. Pasik Yud Gimel. In the end of Rashi. Lama Beketores. Lefi Shal Yisrael Malizin Umerananin Acher HaKetores. They were complaining. Loimar Sam Hamavesu. The Ketores is poison. Al Yodai Nesu Nadav Aviu. Al Yodu Nishrifu Chamishim Masayimish. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tiru, I want you to show Klal Yisrael. She'oitze magefa he, that it will bring life as well. V'hachet hu hamemis. In other words, it's not the ketores. It's not the ketores that brings death. It's chet. In other words, the ultimate segula is ketores. You know why it's the ultimate segula ketores? Because it is a reminder that it's not the segula that's going to bring you this. That's going to bring the Yeshua, and the problems that you have is not because you have not done the skula. What brings trouble in this world is chet. Ha chet hu hamemis. People always imagine that if only my name was a different name, my parents have given me. It's a very big mishagas going on in Eretz Yisrael. People are changing their name right and left. Everyone is upset. I didn't get married by the time I'm 18 years old, so it must be I have a bad mazel. So why do I have a bad mazel? Because I don't have the right name. My parents did not give me the right name. People are changing their name. Shimei Hashem. If only I bought the more expensive mezuzahs, then I would have had a better life. If only I had a better tefillin, a better life. If only this, only that. It's nonsense. The person's fate is in his own. I mean, it's everything's in Hashemayim, but hacheit. Buying a new pair of tefillin is not going to bring this. Is not going to bring the Yeshua. The problem is not because I don't have a nicer pair of tefillin. It's not because I don't have my mezuzos or a different mezuzos. It's not because the person is responsible for his own actions. It's his meisim toivim, his averos. This is what brings success. This is what brings failure. And if a person has done everything right, then don't worry. It's whatever it is, it is. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. You can't challenge. It's not the ketores is not what brings death. Because the very same ketores can bring life. The ketores came to show the people what is the cause of your problems. It's not because of anything external. It's because of the life that you've chosen to live. So in other words, the ketores is a skula to show that it's that skulas don't make a difference. Hocus pocus doesn't make a difference. It's the ultimate silencer of all superstitions. All superstitions is what the ketores is coming to show, that the hacheit hu hamemis. Okay, well, let's go to one. Let's do a quick word.
It can't hurt,
of course. Okay, it can't hurt, but you have to get things in the proper perspective. Okay, let me tell you two quick things to conclude. Number one, let's do two quick things. Okay, number one. At the end of this parasha, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go take a matah from each of the Eretz Yisrael. I want you to put the matah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and this matah will serve. The matah will produce vayotzei tzitz vayigmol shkedim. The matah which blossoms will be a sign that I have selected the person who is the owner, the shevet who is the owner of this matah. Whose matah was this? This was Aaron. Aaron's matah, it gave forth buds, tzitzim, prochim, and shkedim. And this was a sign for Klal Yisrael that Aaron has been hence selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve as the Kohen Gadol, as well as his children and his shevet. What does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to do with this matah? Take this matah, and I want you to put it in the mishmeres, le'ois levnei meri, as a sign for the rebellious people. I want you to put into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I want you to put the matah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to preserve this for all future generations, that people should see that Hashem has selected Aaron and his shevet and his family to serve before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I saw in a sefer, he asked a very simple question. Why did he put this matah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? If the B'nai Mary want a polite reminder that Hashem has selected, he should showcase the matah when you come into the Beis HaMikdash. Outside in the Har HaBayis, there should be a nice glass case, a nice bulletproof glass case displaying the matah la'ois l'vnei Mary as a sign for all of the rebellious people. Anyone here that comes to the Beis HaMikdash and is going to challenge the authority of Moshe the Aaron should see Hashem has hand selected. You're putting in the Kodesh HaKodesh as a place where no one's allowed to go. No one's allowed to see it. So what's it doing there? What's it doing there? So the answer is, who really, now this is a drush, this is not necessarily the pshat, especially with the second part I'm trying to tell you, it's certainly not the pshat, but it's a drush. And the drush is, who is the matter for? And I think it fits very well into this generation, in liberalism, in American left-wing liberalism, it really fits in. Who is the matter for? The matter is not really for the B'nai Mary, for the rebellious people, because you know something? The people who want to rebel, the people who are looking to make trouble, can guarantee you, they will rebel and they will slug up any proof you have that says otherwise. They want to be the Kohanim Gedolim. They want to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you'll show them the matah. They're not going to pay it. They'll ignore the matah. They'll just say the matah, it's nonsense. Don't bring me a right from the matah. People who want to rebel are not going to pay attention to the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts. The ois, the matah, is a reminder for the B'nai Aaron. Because sometimes, the B'nai Aaron may feel a little guilty. You know something? Maybe we should share the wealth. Right? Why should we be the only ones who serve as Kohanim? People who are very good-natured, let my friends also come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Let someone else also share the wealth. Let them also. The ois is for B'nai Aaron. Even though sometimes you look at yourself and you'll say, you know something, are we really better than our counterparts? Are we really better than the Levim and the Yisraelim? It can happen. You have a generation where the Kohanim are nothing special. They're not any more special than anyone else. So Mamela, don't, even though to you, in your eyes, from your perspective, you may think that you're not anything special, you may be inclined to let other people do the avoda. Hashem says, you, B'nai Aaron, should realize Hashem has selected you. Forget about the B'nai Mary. It's similar to what you have in the beginning of the Torah. Hashem says, Hashem gave Parash Bereishis to tell the world, if the Umo Yisraelim will say to Klal Yisrael, list them atem, your robbers, Hashem created the world, He gave it to who He wanted, He took it away from them, He gave it to us. The Goyim, do they go for that answer? The Umo Yisrael, they couldn't care less what it says in the first pasuk in Rashi. So what Hashem accomplish with the first Rashi in the Rashi? The Goyim, the Umo Yisrael, they don't care what it says in the first Rashi. It's for us that you shouldn't feel guilty. When you conquer Eretz Yisrael and you relocate and you purge the land from people who do not belong there, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. It's Hashem's world. The message is for you. It's not for them. Therefore, that's why this is in the Ois B'nai Mary. That's why the matah is in the Kodesh HaKodoshim B'davka, in the place where the Kohanim go. The Ikar reminder is not for the B'nai Mary. The B'nai Mary couldn't care less about the matah B'nai Aaron. The matah is for the Kohanim. They should appreciate that Hashem selected them. And that should impress upon them a duty, a mission, a responsibility to lead because they have been selected. It's primarily for them. I want to say the same thing is when it comes to the mon. The mon is not what it says in Rashi. So I know what it says in Rashi. It's a drush. What does it say about the mon? The mon is, put the mon, a tzinsenes mon, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Why? As a reminder that Hashem provides parnasa. You don't worry. You sit and learn. You sit and learn, Hashem will provide you with parnasa. Now let me ask you, who's the mon for? For the balabatim out there in the world? People out there on Wall Street, they make millions of dollars, top lawyers, top doctors, businessmen, professionals, and successful people. So go to them and take out the mon and show them, look, here's the mon. Quit your job. Quit your practice, your doctor, lawyer, whatever you do, and sit and coil and learn, and don't worry. Don't worry, Hashem will provide you with parnasa. If that's really who it's for, then the mon should not be in the Kodesh HaKodesh. The mon should be on display on Wall Street. Instead of having the big bull, they should have a glass case displaying the mon and tell the people, quit! Go to the best medical schools. People go and just tell them, they don't make, doctors don't make that much money anymore today. But go tell the successful people, quit. The mon is in the Kodesh HaKodesh. You know why? It's because because who's the mon for? The mon is really for the Talmidei Chachamim. The Talmidei Chacham who are currently sitting in Koilam and they're learning away by Hasmod Rabba. and they don't have parnasa. It's hard. It's really, really hard. Go talk to Malam, talk to people called Larry Tisrael. They don't have parnasa, and they're moiser nefesh to sit and learn. They struggle from month to month. They have a yetzahar. You know what? I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to get a job. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't. Maybe you should. Every situation is different. I'm not, no generalizations over here. But the people who have the nisyonos are the people who are in it or are leaving. The people who left, who are not learning, believe me, you don't find them quitting their jobs. So the mon is not going to make a difference for them. It's really not going to make a difference for them. Who's the mon going to make a difference for? It's for the people that are roishoy v'ruboy toirosoy umnosoy. And they have now the yetzahara to abandon ship and to go out into the world and attempt to make a good parnasa. To them, the mon says, stay the course. You've made it this far. You're matzliach in your learning. We're talking about those who are matzliach in their learning. Hey, I can tell you, no generalizations over here. Everyone is different. You're matzliach. You have sipukei nefesh. You're successful. And now you think maybe you can make $1 million out in the work field. Look at the money. Hashem will continue to provide you parnasa. Just like in this idea, the mata b'nei Aaron was not an ois for the b'nei Mary. It says the pasuk is for B'nai Mary, but it's interpreted to mean it's really more of an ois for the B'nai Aaron, that Hashem selected them. Likewise, the primary function of the mon, it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's not on display in Wall Street. It's next to the Aaron, it's a reminder for the people that are learning, if Hashem has taken you this far and you have succeeded in accomplishing in your learning, the solution to Amunah is more emuna. Is more emuna. When they came to cross the Yam Suf, what happened? It says Hashem to jump into the Yam. Kedai hu emuna. And the people originally said Vayamein ham. When Moshe first came to meet them, the people said Vayamein ham. You had emuna then. Have more emuna now. Go further. The solution to emuna is more emuna. Okay, we're out of time. We'll have to stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.